Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Jake Gutierrez, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Monday, December 4th, 2017. You heard the low lights. They're all low lights. No highlights. All low lights. Chiefs lose to the Jets 38-31. Chiefs lose to another bad team. I know Andy Reid's very impressed with the Jets' coaching and execution and their players. Tipping his hat to them and, you know, to that marvelous staff that has lost five of their last six going into the Chiefs game. It seems like things all come together whenever a team plays the Chiefs, so. Tip of the cap to the Jets from Andy Reid. It's really, really good. You know, it's a back and forth game. Saying that like that's something good, that you were in a shootout with the Jets. So, the Jets. Chiefs are now 6-6 on the season. And now that is over the last three games, that is four straight drives by the offense. When they've had the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win or tie, and they have failed to do so. So it's great to put up big numbers in the first quarter and the second quarter and the third quarter. That's awesome. It's awesome for your fantasy football team. But in real football, you have to finish the game with a winning drive at the end of the game. Like a lot of NFL teams do. The Chiefs had the ball against the Giants back. Remember when they lost to the Giants? Remember how much fun that was? They had the ball at the end of the game, at the end of regulation, with a chance to win, and they settled for a field goal. So that game went to overtime. And then they had the ball to start off the overtime. And if they would have scored a touchdown, they would have won the game. So there's two drives against the Giants. If they get the ball in the end zone, they win. Then they had the ball at the end of the game against the Bills, down 16-10. Again, if you get a touchdown, you win the game. Interception. And then yesterday they had the ball with a chance to tie the game at the end. And that did not work out either. So, adding to the long list of issues for the Chiefs, figure out what the hell you're doing at the end of games with two-minute drives with a chance to get the ball in the end zone and win the game. Sometimes you just got to go win the freaking game. I said freaking. Sometimes you got to quit pointing fingers and just go win the game. You've had the ball in your hands with a chance to win the game the past three games. Other teams seem to be able to do it. The Chiefs can't. Well, they can't because three straight games against three mediocre football teams, and they've had the ball in their hands at the end of the game with a chance to win or tie, and they can't do it. They can't do it. They need a touchdown. Well, they can get you a field goal. They can get you a good look at three when the game's on the line, but no game-winning touchdowns. And in the NFL, many times that's what you're looking for. Just give us the ball at the end with a chance to win. Well, the Chiefs have had that opportunity three straight games. And they have dropped trow and peed it all away. So, they got that going for them. Alex Smith had a fine day, 366 yards, four touchdowns. Wish that they would have been able to get a touchdown at the end of the game, but that was not to be. Travis Kelce started fast, and then he was removed from the game plan. which was unique. Tyreek Hill was fantastic. 6 catches for 185 yards. Defense was terrible. So when the offense is terrible, the defense is really good. And when the offense is really good, the defense is really terrible. I think I've got that right. I think that's the way it goes. And so basically, I will also say the Chiefs are horrible at situational football. Terrible at situational football. They appear to be one of the most undisciplined, poorly coached teams in the NFL, which is stunning to me because most times I would believe that the Chiefs have the advantage in coaching with Andy Reid and his staff. That is not the case this year. They are undisciplined. They have bizarre game plans every week, either on defense or on offense or both. Terrible at situational football. Horrific when it comes to committing boneheaded penalties with the game on the line. See the game at Oakland. You remember any penalties at the end of the Oakland game that may have cost him? Kind of like this one, huh? And I criticize the offense for not being able to drive to score a game-winning touchdown. Well, they would have been able to drive for a game-winning field goal had the Chiefs and Benny Logan decided not to commit a penalty on a field goal attempt that literally took the field goal off the board for the Jets and gave them an opportunity to extend a lead with a touchdown or to create a larger lead with a touchdown. And then, you know, just commit more penalties to give them another crack at a 2-point conversion. So how many chances did the Jets or how many chances did the Raiders get at scoring a game winning touchdown against the Chiefs? Where do they run 14 plays inside the red zone? How many plays did the Jets run inside the 10 there at the end? How many free plays did they get at the end? And why? Undisciplined, poorly coached, dumb football. So who do you blame there? And it's different people making the mistakes all the time. So who gets that blame? Andy Reid, his coaching staff, and the players. Everybody. This is not a Division I college football team playing their first non-con game of the year, and they just have to figure things out and get on the same page. This is an NFL team that is playing in Week 13 that can't get out of their own way. It's comical, really. You just wait to see who's going to make the next big mistake. How will they lose this one now? And if we're thinking that, they're thinking that too. All right, here we are. How are we going to lose this one? Okay. Get a penalty on the field goal and give the Jets a chance to score a touchdown. Let's try that one. Okay. You're up, Benny Logan. Let's go. So, yeah, there's no rant today. It's just old and tired now, so. Now it's Chiefs and Raiders. Plan to see some good football on Sunday. Let's see who makes some more mistakes. It's up in the air. Who knows? Anybody. It's anybody's game, really. I still think the Chiefs can beat the Raiders. Chargers, I don't know. We'll get to that. I'm not looking ahead past any game now anymore. So we'll see how things go with the Raiders. Josh McCown threw for 331. Jets had 2 100-yard receivers. So, boy, it's fun to watch, and it's even more fun to look at the box score after a game like that. It's really neat. Darrell Revis helped things out. He looked like he had never played football before. That's kind of what happens when you desperately sign a guy off the street that hasn't played all year. He looks like he's never tackled anyone. So, and then he ends up with no helmet standing next to Andy Reid in the second half. But then again, if you thought he was going to help, then you were wrong. So, there it is. And the Chiefs' pass rush. You know what? I shouldn't say that. They don't have a pass rush. They would have to have a pass rush for me to say Chiefs' pass rush. They don't have a pass rush. Does anyone know if Justin Houston played? Did anyone happen? I'm not being a smartass. I'm asking you if you remember seeing him, because I don't recall. I was also angry during the game, and so maybe I missed it. Can you tell me what your favorite play from Justin Houston was yesterday?
He's listed in the box score, did not make a tackle. Mm-hmm. But his name's on there. He's credited with one quarterback hit.
When was that?
I don't know.
Right. What stands out to you most about his performance yesterday? If everyone's getting called out, he might as well too, you know.
Yeah.
He's making $400 billion to rush the quarterback, so I mean, on a day when Josh McCown throws for over 300 and there's 200-yard receivers, I feel like maybe let's take a look at
we like to be accurate here on the board. Yeah. He's not making $400 million.
Whatever. It's close enough.
I think Steven said billion.
Okay.
You might want to check that.
He's not making that.
It's
either.
A legitimate question. Do you remember?
No, they held him
play.
Not a
Do you remember
tackle.
Something? Can you tell me?
Nope.
He didn't tackle anybody.
He almost got him there.
No tackles.
Almost got him.
Mm-mm.
Put that pressure on. Getting closer. One more step and he's there.
No.
Do you remember Tamba Hali? You don't, because he was inactive.
I saw a clip of him on the sideline shouting words of encouragement to the team.
I saw him on Twitter.
I saw
last night.
A picture of him. Dressed in very nice clothes, walking on the field, like looked like he was doing something, maybe Facebook Live or something.
He was on Twitter.
Whatever.
Last night.
Well, this was before the game.
Okay.
And then immediately after the game, he implored Chiefs fans not to give up.
Right.
So. But he was inactive with Dee Ford, so that's where they were. So, it seems like lots of money spent on pass rushers didn't really reap any big benefits yesterday. I don't know. So, hey, I'm trying to control my temper and just talk it out. Let's talk it out. That's all I want to do is talk it out, you know? I couldn't wait, really. I'm thinking last night, boy, I can't wait to talk about this game for 4 hours.
Yeah.
It really is going to be fun. You know, and in commercial breaks, I'm going to go ram my head into a brick wall repeatedly because it's basically the same thing. Do you want to put that on TV? You want that 38 to spot?
I will
bash my face into a wall repeatedly, and it'll be more entertaining than us talking about the Chiefs game. Call now if that's what you want to see, because I'm willing to do it. I feel like that's a better option for me. I got a thick skull. I can handle it. Jake, you're the producer. You decide. We'll take a break. We'll talk it over. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello, everyone.
So, in the break, we decided no wall. We're not going to let you bash your head in the wall for 4 hours. We need you for the rest of the week.
Yep.
Gary tweets in, opening monologue made it sound like the Chiefs are losing to mediocre teams, insinuating the Chiefs are better than those teams, or they're just a good team. Is it possible the Chiefs are a bad team that just had a hot start? The Chiefs are better than the Giants. They're a better football team than the Giants. The Chiefs are better than the Jets. And absolving them from that fact is doing them a favor. the expectation should be way higher than that. You can't. None of us can let the Chiefs off the hook for this and say, "Oh, yeah, they're just mediocre." No, no. Their talent level is better than this, and that's why so much of it needs to be placed on the shoulders of Andy Reid and his coaching staff. It is dumb mistakes and penalties, lack of awareness, again, the inability to succeed in game-winning situations. Are they a Super Bowl contender? No. Are they as good as the Patriots and the Steelers in the AFC? No, no. We were wrong about that. I was wrong about that. And I don't want to hear, wow, they beat the Patriots. They're not as good. No. Okay, didn't the Bears beat the Steelers? I think the Bears are still walking about, but we beat the Steelers. Other games matter too. Okay? But no, no. That's an easy way out. Oh, you know what? No, let me read you. The Chiefs are just mediocre. I'm going to give them a pass. Nope. No. Not in year five of this program. No, sir. Their talent is better. And that's not saying a whole bunch. The Giants are a train wreck. They're going to fire their coach at some point. And the whole Eli Manning, Geno says, come on. With no wide, Odell Beckham out for the year. No. They should have beat the Giants. Come on now. They should have beat the Bills. They should have beat. That's not saying a whole lot. That's not some big stretch. Well, I think they're better than the Giants and the Jets. That's why it's so frustrating and inexcusable, because they're losing to teams that are average or below average compared to what they are.
A lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda stuff here lately.
Like?
I mean, the thing is, after a while, if you keep losing to these teams, you're as bad as them.
Yep.
Now, like you said, the talent is one thing, but sometimes it's more than just talent, right? Coaching, discipline, game plan, mistakes, focus, effort, all those things go into determining how good of a team you are. And right now, they're a lousy team. Lousy.
Very matter-of-factual this morning.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe Gary's right. Maybe they're just terrible.
I mean, right now they are. I think they're better. They can be much better than what they've been playing like the last 6 weeks. But gosh darn, it's 6 weeks of this now, you know?
Yeah. They've had opportunities to win each of these last three games. I mean, that's what you want in the NFL, especially when you feel like the offense is the strength of your football team. You have an offensive-minded head coach. You have a veteran quarterback, a good young running back, a Pro Bowl tight end, a big play wide receiver. Don't you think most NFL teams will sign up for that? Give us the ball at the end of the game with a chance to win. Right?
Yep.
That's the NFL. They're all close games for the most part. But they can't do it. Failed three straight weeks. Failed. Got the ball first in overtime against the Giants. Failed. Got the ball at home against the Bills with a chance to score a touchdown and win. Failed. Got the ball yesterday at the end of the game. Failed. It's three straight weeks. And I know a lot of things happen to get to that point. But the NFL is about the fourth quarter, about who makes plays at the end of the game to win. They can't do it. Have not been able to do it. So that's about
it. And not on either side. You know, like they've had the chance to stop teams to win a game, like the Raiders.
Right.
Stop them to win it. They can't do that. And like you said, if they just allow the field goal to happen, they win the game yesterday. But you're right. It's a flaw of this team, their inability to go on late touchdown drives.
Situational football, they're just a mess.
Yep.
They're just a mess. They look poorly coached and undisciplined. You know why? Because right now, they're poorly coached and undisciplined. That's why they look like that. Do you? I mean, how? I mean, it's unbelievable. The amount of penalties, the wide variety of penalties. Whose fault is it?
But that's been there all year.
It really has, from game one.
Yep, it's been there all year.
But they keep, but like they keep finding different ways. It's not the same thing over and over again. Did you see Andy Reid's face after the penalty on the field goal?
Yeah,
he's like, whoa, whoa. It's like he couldn't even believe it for a guy that's seen it all. It's not the same. It's like different. Like, wow, this is a new one. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they're gonna find a way to get a team to take off the go ahead field goal, and they're gonna give them a touchdown. How's that going to happen? What? Haven't seen that one.
It's just so stupid.
Haven't seen that one.
I actually felt really good about the Chiefs' chances to drive down and kick a field goal to win the game. Yeah. And that field goal went up.
And the way it looked like it, that's what would have happened, probably. Of course, you know, then there's the touchdown. You know, feel free to stop them and don't let them get a touchdown. Feel free to, stop holding everyone. You're not going to get away with it when it's so blatant, Steven Nelson. Feel free, whatever. And then, you know, to add a little spice to this stew of failure, pick up the flag and throw it in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then leave the field even though you have not been ejected. And so you're not out there for the attempt to stop the two-point conversion. And then come back on the field wearing no socks. And they're so undisciplined and so much in disarray. Then Andy Reid after the game, well, what happened with Marcus Peters? Well, he thought he was ejected, and so he walked on. We thought he was ejected because he was walking off. How about maybe someone should probably figure that out? Hey, is he ejected? Hey, anyone? There's some, I don't know, I feel like there's some officials out there you could ask them, hey, did you throw him out? Is that just me?
No, you, in
how
also,
many effing people are on the staff they or say on the side? Could someone ask somebody?
The officials say it when they eject somebody.
That's the thing, was the thing to me, is he didn't say it.
Yeah, they,
and I
when
was
they
watching
eject
going,
somebody,
okay,
they
why
say
why is he
it.
Walking off? They never said he was ejected.
So-and-so has been dismissed from the from the competition. So-and-so has been ejected from the game.
They say it over the loudspeaker.
Right. Apparently Steven Nelson was trying to get him to stop. But Steven Nelson probably should have just held him. He held everyone else.
Right.
No, that's
just grab him and hold him.
Right.
Of all the people that could have stopped him from walking off the field, it's Steven Nelson. He could have held him. The one time you need him to hold somebody, he didn't hold him. Should have had him just hold him. No, I got... Somebody should have told Nelson that, Marcus Peters trying to run around. Let me hold him.
You know, I was listening to postgame last night, and I mean, Marcus Peters was getting the lion's share of the criticism from the fans calling in. Everybody wants him either suspended, benched, or cut, and whatever. I mean, you know, that's all fair. It was a complete lack of discipline again from him and all that. But I was kind of thinking while I was listening to all that, though, you know, that was all embarrassing to watch, and it was a clown show. It really, that his part in it had no impact in the game. The Benny Logan one cost the Chiefs the game. That cost them the game.
The only thing you could the only thing you could say was he wasn't out there for the 2-point try.
But I think it was just a QB sneak
He still wasn't out there.
Yeah.
And and it's just it's a symbol of the lack of discipline.
Yep.
And just the lack of leadership. And really walking off the field and no one else. He ejected. I don't know.
Well, one thing you can say about it, I think Marcus Peters wanted to get ejected. I think he was thinking, if I throw this flag up there, I'll be ejected, but I'm fine with that. He just assumed he was ejected because he knew what he did was so stupid.
Everyone assumed, which is unbelievable to me. So,
but the point is, he thought, I'm going to get myself ejected right here.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WAT. So many things that have irritated me from this game. Now we have Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, in studio. And Mark,
is this Steve Nelson's theme song?
You are a savant because you just right before we come back from commercial break, you just mentioned the play I was going to mention next. Tell me about a team
Tell you a story. Has,
tell me a story, about a team that is facing third and half a yard, and the play that they dial up is a pass to backup offensive lineman Cam Irving. I don't know what's more remarkable about that play. That it was called, that Alex Smith still threw it despite Irving being double covered, or the fact that the Giants had Cam Irving
covered,
double teamed. like what? Which one of those things is the most surprising?
Remarkable.
It's pretty shocking that they would call that play, right? And then for Alex to still throw it, I feel like at that point, just, you know what, run around, do something, because he's double covered. And then how did the Giants say, you know what, better put two guys on Cam Irving there? What was that? What was that?
Well, let's back up 1 second. First of all, the offense was better yesterday. We can all agree on that, right?
Okay. Yes.
So let's get the positive out of the way first. The fact that the offense was better, they took some shots up the field, and were productive doing it. So that's number one. Alex Smith was much, much better, obviously, yesterday. Had a really good game. Now, to be negative on the offensive side, not even constructive, we'll just be negative. Let's just call it what it is. The Kareem Hunt only had 6 carries yesterday, right? Akeem Hunt had 1. Alex Smith had 1 or 2 for like 90 yards.
1 carry, right? For 70 yards.
Okay. So this team, we've talked about this a lot. I've talked about this with you guys. I've talked about it on the pregame show. Grunny's talked about it. They cannot run the football. It's an attitude thing. They don't get any push. They don't get anything. So when you get to, I said it a week ago, I've said it numerous weeks, that when you're in 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2, like they don't get any push whatsoever. So it's 3rd and a half a yard. I mean, just sneak it with Alex Smith. Okay?
No.
I mean,
no.
Josh McCown yesterday, at 38 years old, ran about 15 quarterback sneaks, it felt like. And it worked.
Cam Irving is a very big target.
That's true.
But when you have 3rd and a half a yard and you don't even trust a quarterback to get a quarterback sneak because you can't get any push, tells me all you need to know about what they feel about running the football, and that's they can't run the football, and they feel they can't run the football because you don't call a play like that, sneaking a tackle eligible out on play action on 3rd and a half a yard when if you can't run the football and you don't believe you can run the football. Because any offensive coordinator, I'll tell you this, any offensive coordinator or O-line coach at a half yard, they'll run the football, and the attitude you have with it is, if we don't get any push, I don't care, Kareem Hunt. If everybody falls down, you got to get a half yard. That's the attitude that every offensive coordinator I've been around has. It boggles my mind that there literally is no confidence at all on the offensive side of the ball from the coaching staff that they can get half a yard running the football.
Yesterday, was it can't run the football or won't?
I think it's they won't because they know they can't. That's what I'm saying. They have zero confidence they can run the football. Zero. Whatsoever.
Hunt had almost 4.5 yards per carry.
Yeah.
9 carries for 40 yards. So it feels like, and they were starting to get some success with it when they committed to it. And then, okay, that's enough. We're good.
Because
they stopped doing it.
What happened yesterday is they used the vertical passing game to loosen up the Jets defense a little bit, and they could run the football then. They could have. But they decided not to. Now, in the second half, I will say this. Based on the way the game was going and what was working offensively, I will defend this a little bit. With the amount of time that the Jets had the football and the drives that they were taking, I think they felt they needed to get some chunk yardage, right, by trying to throw the football off the field because they were successful with it because of how the possessions were going in the second half. Because the Jets did have a couple of really long drives. Yeah. That first drive took, like, what, 8-9 minutes off the clock, I think.
10 minutes. Think about it this way. The Jets ran 85 plays mm-hmm. on offense. Do you know how many the Chiefs had?
Not anywhere close to that.
46.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's part of the reason you only have nine carries.
That is part of it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then the second half specifically, the game dictated a little bit. And they were successful throwing the football. That's the other thing, too. I mean, they were, but when you line up at 3.5 yard and don't, and we've seen this before in other games around and different things where an offensive coordinator or somebody will dial up a little bit of a play action on 3rd and 1, and you get the entire defense is sucked up because, you know, they're expecting the run. Everybody's jammed in there. You sneak a guy out in the flat for a big game. We've seen that happen. But that's not happening against this team because everybody else knows they can't run the football either and don't want to from that standpoint. So you're not fooling anybody. 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now, they ran on 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2. They ran it to the same type of play to Ross Travis, who's no longer on the roster. And then this week they ran it to a tackle who reports in as eligible. That just boggles my mind on the trick play type of stuff that every week we're talking about a boneheaded trick play call, it seems like.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here's my gripe about the Chiefs and how they do not utilize the run game properly. So 3 games ago against the Giants, all I heard after the game, Alex Smith was so bad because of the wind. The conditions weren't right to throw the football. You can't expect anyone to throw the football accurately. So what do? They let Alex Smith attempt 40 passes, throw a couple of picks. They even throw a little Travis Kelce throwing the ball downfield for good measure. So they're firing the football around the field 41 times in a game that was 9-9 in regulation, and the wind was the biggest complaint, while Kareem Hunt had 18 carries for 73 yards, averaging over 4 yards a carry. In a game, because of the conditions, that's a game where you need to have 25 to 30 carries. Trust me, he's rested. Then the next game against the Bills, again, a close one-score game. The run game wasn't working, but 11 carries. What do you think is going to happen? Any running back will tell you they get better as the game goes on. Give me more carries. They weren't running the football effectively, but then they give up. And then yesterday, 9 carries for 40 yards. They were running the ball okay, 4.5 yards a carry. They stopped themselves as much as other teams stopped them. It's bizarre. I'm still not over them not running the football more against the Giants because that clearly cost them the game. But that's their mentality, and that's the reputation that Andy Reid had coming from Philadelphia. He'll drive you crazy when he gives up on the run game repeatedly. And right now, he drives me crazy because he gives up the run game repeatedly. Now, yesterday, all the news was that, Andy Reid, he's giving up the play-calling duties and he's going to hand them over to Matt Nagy. Tell me, was that a big deal? What did that mean? What's the significance of that?
You know, Strand and I talked about this on the pregame show yesterday a little bit. I saw it yesterday a lot. Anytime you see something like that leak out before a game, I think it's a lot of window dressing.
Yes.
In a lot of cases. Okay, because I said yesterday, it's either, look, if things go well for him, then hey, this was a good change. This is where we needed to go with things. It needed to happen at this point. We're trying to shake it up. If things don't go well, it's a built-in excuse. Well, it's the first week that Matt Nagy's working with Alex as a play caller and trying to get those guys in sync. I mean, it just felt like a little bit of window dressing and protection. Now, that being said, you know, offensively, they played well yesterday. They did abandon the run game, which is a problem. And to me, I think we know what Andy Reid is. I mean, this was who he was in Philadelphia in terms of throwing the football a lot and abandoning the run game there also. So I don't necessarily know if we can get super upset about the fact that this is the MO, okay? This is the MO. Now, that being said, also, I think it's also a situation, though, where this team is just bad at situational football. And I heard you say that earlier this morning, Stephen, and it is 100% true. If you want to be pass-heavy, that's okay. But when it comes down to 3rd and short and different times like that, you've got to be able to run the football. That's the thing. I mean, that's why I say I don't think they can, and there is zero confidence that they can get any push and do it. Because even your most stubborn offensive coordinator, as I mentioned before, will try to jam a run in there at some point when you're in a short yardage situation. So that's the flaw to me, is that there is zero confidence there that they can run the football. Otherwise, you don't give Kareem Hunt only six touches, or he had more touches now, but six carries over the course of a game. Now, again,
9 for 40 yards yesterday.
Or nine. But it did, you know, they did have, like I said, the time of possession and some of that stuff dictated what happened. But the problem yesterday, to me, was defensively. Again, they can't cover anybody. They can't get to the quarterback.
There's zero pass rush.
That is a deadly combination when you already struggle in the secondary and you can't get to the quarterback. That is a formula for losing a lot of games, because that is what's happening. They can't cover in the secondary anyway unless they hold somebody, and they can't get to the quarterback. That is a deadly combination.
I mean, the only time they get to the quarterback is if they blitz. You know, I mean, that's the only time they hurry him in any way, shape, or form. And like you said, when your secondary is not great, you blitz, that all of a sudden leaves those bad defensive backs in one-on-one coverage.
They can't get off the field.
Yeah.
They haven't turned opponents over at all either. That's the other thing. They haven't got any turnovers. And, I mean, the Jets converted 65% of their third downs yesterday. And they had – and 65%, okay, is an astronomical number in football of conversion rate on third down. They also had 20 attempts at it. That's the other part. You had 20 attempts. 20 third down opportunities, and they converted 65% of those. And a lot of those are third and long. I don't want to say there's no excuse for that, but there is no excuse for that. There are major, major problems with this team right now. And I know we'll probably get into Marcus Peters thing here in a little bit as well, but you know, the discipline side of things, there looks to me on defense that there is guy that they don't know what's going on. Every time, you know, there's a third down play or a second down play and a pass is completed, you see if we finally tackle the receiver, the corners and DBs get up and kind of throw their hands up in the air like it wasn't their fault or was somebody else's fault, or you know, there's a communication problem with it, or they're mad that the pass rush didn't get there. I don't know what it is, you know what I mean? But that you can tell there's frustration. There's not a lot of attitude in a good way on that defense, of swagger or anything. This team just has a lot of problems right now.
We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Today on the Border Patrol, very excited because Jake has combed his hair. Wonderful, wonderful hairstyle today for maybe even some product in there. I'm not sure.
He's got that No Country for Old Men look.
Right.
Going.
That's exactly right, friendo.
You call it.
You're damn right.
What's the most you've ever lost on
any,
a coin toss?
Any product in the hair, yes or no? Is
no.
It all natural?
No, I washed it today.
Well, that's a whole other story.
First time in about 10 days.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jake washed his hair today for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.